This is RSBNB Update, episode 293, recorded Friday, January 28th, 2011. Shane is the answer. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to your weekly episodic intake of everything RuneScape and RSBNB related. That could be our new slogan, but it's not going to be. We're just gonna we're just gonna talk about what we usually talk about. Chief Snake is here.
Hello. I think we need an actual slogan. I mean, sometimes you're a bit pressed for what to say when you do these intros. Or at least I found that. I've only done one intro. You must have difficulty.
I just make it up as I go along.
Well, it goes to show how amazing you are, Shane.
And for anybody who doesn't know who I am, you just introduced me as Shane, which is right, so...
Mr. Shane12088.
Yes. Anyways.
Seasoned podcast host and...
And what?
Amazing RuneScape player. I'm shocking.
Yes, apparently. At least I'd like to think so, but...
Well, you can look up Shane on the RSBNB High Scores at highscores.rsbnb.com.
And what will you find?
What will you find?
Yeah, what will you find?
What are you insinuating here?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what they're going to see, if that's going to be something decent or not.
Oh, well, yes. That's open to interpretation, really. That's why I was putting it out there.
Yeah.
Decide for yourself.
Yeah, I got a few 99s, but that's not the main point. But
a few 99s.
Yes. So no update this week, as was planned and behind the scenes, and, you know, kind of insinuates that this week was a testing week for them to make sure everything is ready for next Tuesday and to make sure we don't end up with any Falador massacres, which is good they're taking
that would
test,
be fun, though.
Yeah, it would be.
You know, can't we have something like that just to introduce us again back to the old wilderness?
Yeah, you know,
just like old times.
Yeah, like mega old times when you could attack anyone anywhere on any world. Yeah. So, you played during those days.
I don't think I did. Must have joined slightly after that.
All right, then.
I don't know. It's too difficult to keep track of.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had any major bug yet. Incidents like that in a long time, which is kind of unfortunate, seeing as the last
really
thing happened
boring.
In the middle of the night for us, and we weren't able to actually experience it.
On Jagex's part, that's pretty impressive, though, because
yeah, it is.
They do have some strange screw ups sometimes, and yet they've never had anything that major.
Yeah, well, not recently. So. Anyways, no RuneScape updates this week, as you can probably imagine. The only thing they have given us has been a Return of the Wilderness wallpaper.
Oh, I
didn't
see
that. With the iconic green dragon and what looks like, I don't know, lava and probably a landscape you'd see if you were walking through the wilderness in first person.
Ooh. Foreshadowing. Is it a wallpaper worth using?
It is, actually, because the watermark is actually quite faded now.
Oh, okay.
So if you did like the artwork, it would be worth using. So,
Return of the Wilderness. Bear with my internet as it slows to a crawl.
I don't know. I think with this one, they should have made it not as focused, you know, and maybe had a bit of a wider kind of shot at it rather than just focusing in on such a narrow shot.
Yeah, actually, it is a bit plain. It's some
especially in
quite
the
basic digital art, apart from the dragon itself.
Yeah, so. But it's good that they're finally making the watermark not as visible, you know?
Yeah.
Because I remember way back when that was
finally learning the basic design.
They used to be like full on, you know, 100% not see-through, and, well, it would pretty much stand out in the bottom of your screen that you'd be using a RuneScape wallpaper, and it would be annoying to use because It would pretty much act as an eye deterrent and make your eyes glance over to that instead of where they should be. So,
plus, whenever you have friends over, they just look at your wallpaper and go, "Ugh, RuneScape."
Well, then they don't deserve to be your friends.
Well, yeah, it's probably true. I wouldn't know because I don't use RuneScape wallpapers. I'm just assuming.
And your friends all support RuneScape.
No, they don't, actually.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, you
probably one or two people who might condone it, but nah, the rest will just be out of
remember your thing about going to harvest your watermelons at the...
Oh, yeah, but yeah, that's just because I can make jokes about it, but only in moderation. I know what's I know what the threshold is.
Okay.
But moving on.
Wilderness and free trade getting started guides. Pretty much there's no point in reading this if you're around when the first wilderness was there. So, unless, of course, you're new after December 2007, you really should take a read through these because they go through the whole thing of what being scald means and the fact you won't keep any items even if you have your protect item thing on. So,
I think even if like for people like me who never used to PK, I've sort of forgotten a lot of what the old wilderness was about. It's probably worthwhile reading these, to be honest.
Really?
Because, well, I don't know. For me, I just randomly remember things that that used to be in the old wilderness that I'd completely forgotten about and not realized would be returning, you know.
Old wilderness for me means people killing people who are doing clue scrolls and runecrafting.
Yeah. But there are a lot of insignificant details that you forget. And
like?
They can actually be important. Well, I mean, being sculled and how many items you will lose, like, it's sort of different now because we have gravestones. And
yeah, that's true, I guess. Because the gravestones
won't
be in the
wilderness.
There's
just a lot that you don't consider. Yeah.
So, I don't know. We should probably talk about the free trade one first, but before I say what I was going to say, but is there any bullet points in the wilderness one that you want to highlight?
Oh, I haven't looked at it, actually.
You know, this one is, I forget, when did summoning come out? Was that 2008?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I'm trying to remember if we had summoning in the old wilderness or not. Not sure, because they say...
No, I'm pretty sure we didn't know.
Members can indeed use familiars in the wilderness, and we highly recommend them. They can mean the difference between winning or losing, whether taking a beast of burden into the wilderness to act as food storage, or bringing a combat familiar to deal additional damage. Familiars can attack or be attacked in the multi-ways of combat area in the wilderness, denoted by cross sword symbols. Okay, so it's pretty much the same as that. And then they'll go back to the old kind of display.
It looks like it's pretty much, I mean, as far as familiars go, it looks as pretty much the same as what it has been for the, you know, PvP worlds and things.
Yeah, the level plus your summoning, how much your summoning affects it and whatnot. So, how do you start player killing? So they say what they're going to be, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's much of an explanation needed for player killing.
Yeah, I think it will be a lot more straightforward, actually, than it has been, because all of the stuff with, you know, gaining EP and, I don't know, loot potential, I don't understand that. Yeah, I don't understand that in the slightest, and if I were a PKer now, you know, while the wilderness is as it is at present, I wouldn't know where to begin. Whereas when this wilderness does return, you know, you'll be able to just go out there and kill people.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, that's true. And you know,
it's get what they've got on them, so you'll know exactly.
And for members, it's a little bit more, you can use your tactics a bit more, because with that damage soaking update, you have to take into account what your combat types are going to be in based on what the most common armor type you're going to be seeing.
I was thinking about this the other day. I have literally not even considered that at all since that update came out, or since we even tested it. I've not noticed it in the slightest.
Yeah, you know, you don't notice it if you're doing a Slayer combat or anything, because most of the hits are less than that value, so it doesn't really mean much.
I don't know. Maybe some other people will, but I'm too simple.
Summoning was released on January 15th, 2008, so a month after the Wilderness was removed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I definitely don't remember it being part of the Wilderness, so that's good.
Let's see, so we already talked about the FAQs next week, what they're going to be doing with quests and the minigames, so there's not much to say there. Of course, you're still going to need to go in there for clue scrolls, which is going to be a little bit less, but nonetheless, still dangerous, which I got a story to tell you about later in what have we been doing section. Please remind me on that.
Good.
Anyways, a free trade guide here, basically an explanation of free trade. Free trade is as simple as it sounds. The ability to trade with other players without limits. You can trade as much or as little as you want with other players, as often as you want.
Yay.
What is trading? What is the grand exchange? Where can I trade with other players? Can I give and receive gifts? I think this was an important one that they addressed because, you know, people want to give gifts to their friends or random people, but they don't want to get thought of as, oh, this person's RWTing, you know?
Oh, okay.
That's good they did that one. How do you make money as a new player? How do you make money as a trader? Can you set up a business with staking? And they go on and on about that. And you're actually going to be able to stake now in Conquest. So.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
Anyways, that will be that.
Exciting times.
Yes. You know, I don't know. I'm still not sure if it's a good thing. Like, I have examples in both cases of why we need this update and why we don't need this update.
Yeah, exactly.
Why we don't
shall
need this
see.
Update.
I mean, that's all I can say now. I just don't really care. I'm sick of overanalyzing things. I'm just waiting for it to come out, and then I'll see what happens.
We don't need this update because there are people every world at the GE using botting software to bot fire making. But we do need this update because for 3 days I've had an Armadil plate body on the Grand Exchange, and it hasn't sold yet on Min. So that's why we do need
there
the update.
Go.
So,
but anyways. I mean, the bots will only, I mean, they're not really governed by free trade these days.
No, they're not. But, you know, Jagex said they're going to, for the gold farming and stuff, they said they can remove them all. But really, if we're still seeing this, how are we going to know, you know?
Mm.
That's my point. But anyways, let's move on to the next piece here. Jagex is having an event. I got a laugh out of this last night. The RuneScape Exorcism team.
Ghostbusters.
Okay. I never watched that movie, did you?
No. No, it was way before my time.
Yeah, same here.
Revenant Busters.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mod Crow and Mod Carolina. RuneScape Exorcism team. Anyways, they're having an event called Banish the Revenants here. This is your last chance to bring the fight to these vile creatures and remove them from the wilderness once and for all. These are happening on the 28th, 29th, and 30th on various worlds at specific times. 12 a.m. GMT, 4 a.m. GMT, 8 a.m. GMT, 2 p.m. GMT, 7 p.m. GMT on all those days on a free and members world. So you can go and have some fun with your fellow community members and, you know, I don't know. It's kind of nice they're doing this, but is it something, I guess they're just trying to celebrate this or something, I don't know.
No, I think it's fully a publicity thing.
Yeah, which we'll see when it comes out, you know. Like, we'll see how polished it is when it comes out. because, you know, having it in testing this extra week means that they're just able to kind of tweak it a bit and polish it a bit more than they normally would. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works in the bigger scheme of things.
Mm. Be cool to see what testing consisted of. You'd think that half of the mod team would just sit around on computers PKing each other to test out all the little
Yeah, but you know, you'd have to
That's
assign
the part where it'd be fun to be a developer.
Yeah, until you find something and you don't know where it's coming from.
No, but that would be the fun part. That would be like
really
the puzzle. That's why I love. I can't really say that legitimately. It is sort of fun, but only to a point.
You know what's not fun? You weren't programming at this time, but back in 2004, when we were using JavaScript and IE6 was the main browser and Firefox was just coming on, what was really fun
I had it easy, didn't I?
Was developing JavaScript for Internet Explorer and finding out what the problem was when it has error messages such as null is null or not an object.
Yeah, so I was just an HTML, possibly a little bit of CSS. No, not even CSS at that time. That was just HTML. I was
so
young.
It's a matter of opinion whether or not it's fun, but anyways.
Oh, God. We converted banishing revenants into a programming discussion.
Yeah, well, that is to be expected when you get two people who are in the computer science kind of field, you know?
Good on us.
Anyways,
if anyone actually goes to that, then you should probably PM us and tell us how it went.
I was thinking of going to one of these, but I don't know if I will. Like, I don't know if I want to go into the wilderness just for that.
It's too much effort.
Yeah. Anyways, following up from one of the suggestions that came in sometime in the tail end of 2010, when there's no updates, we're going to discuss a featured forum topic. So this week's topic is
suggest an emote.
You know, we probably had this as a question at one point or another, you know?
Probably. So I never actually read this, so tell me what it's about.
Well, basically, they want to talk to the players to find out what you would like your players to do. Examples they give: ever wanted to have your character follow up an air guitar with an air drum solo? Would you like to see your character pull off a solid snake and hide under a box? What's a solid snake?
I don't know, but whenever I search my name in Google, that comes up.
Ah.
As in Chief Snake, not my actual name.
Yeah, that would be scary if that did come up.
Brad Christensen, solid snake. Hmm.
Anyways, other ones they give, or maybe you're a more serious player and want something to help you roleplay your assassin, wizard, vampire character. So you want to drop your knees in angst and cry out as sorrowful. No! No!
I think I beat you.
Okay, you did it better. So basically they say post your creative ideas for a new emote. Post the name of the emote with a short description of how it looks, and they don't need any ideas about how to give out these emotes. They're just looking for emotes themselves.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know an emote I'd like to see? That would be good for player own house parties.
Not Star Trek related?
Yes, it is actually.
Okay.
I got two though. First one is live long and prosper. But of course we need fingers in order to
pull
that
off.
You
couldn't really do that, but yeah, we'd need fingers first.
So if we get fingers, let's go with that one.
Holding up their fist in the air.
If not, the worm.
The worm. Okay.
Yeah, I remember at Halloween they said there's a chance of getting a player-owned house at a dance party floor, so why not have a worm emote to go with that?
Yeah, I suppose. Well, I guess like with the drill demon, you can be animated doing push-ups and stuff, so that would be like lying down. They'd have a base for it. All they would need to do would be like bend the character model.
Yeah, you know, once you have the model, it's just a matter of playing with the polygons, you know? Like, you could make someone's head, like, be inside their chest.
Right.
It's not natural, but it, you know, whatever you can do with the polygons makes it happen. So, you have any suggestions for this?
No, nothing off the top of my head. Have you seen any interesting ones in the thread? Or
well, there's 81 pages. So on the first page, the only one I see that's interesting is a handshake. They said it would require two players to do.
Oh, yeah. Interaction.
So, then the
that would kind
would
of add a whole new element to it, though.
Yeah, it would. You'd have to figure out you'd have to add that to the emote system, and it wouldn't be just a simple emote add, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so. And it's a bit, yeah, that'd be quite convoluted.
Yeah, imagine if a third person tried to come in while they were shaking hands.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, but I think it would be too much effort for something.
Oh, well, here's one for you. Snake Charmer, small emote where you sit down quietly on a carpet with a flute and summon an army of snakes.
Yes, that should be an emote just for me, or for people with snake in their name. Well, you can kind of, I mean, there is already a Snake Charmer in Polnivnich, or one of those desert places.
And the
places.
Carpet person in Elkhard.
Oh, okay.
So. Yes.
Oh, well.
So if you have an emote, you can find the link to this topic at update.rsbnb.com. And we hope to see some of your guys' emotes in there if you sent an emote in. Let us know, and we'll give a mention of it sometimes. Just make sure you do that. And, of course, you can do that at, oh, I don't know, you could send either of us a PM on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums. Or I guess you could try and tweet it to us at rsbnbstaff on Twitter.
More likely to read it if you oh, no, actually, no. I miss all my mentions.
You need a client.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, I do get them sent to my phone, though.
I don't know if that was a good thing to say.
Why?
What if they start spamming you?
Oh, it's not a, it's just a Wi-Fi thing.
Okay. Alrighty. And then there's another few forum topics that you guys should go read. It is the developer engine Q&A parts 1, 2, and 3. Basically, they talk about the game engine, questions about the engine in part 1, future changes in part 2, and part 3 consists of problems that they're currently trying to fix. So in there comes, I forget what it was, like some of the black artifacting you see on software mode, that was one that was in there. So
apart from that, though, there wasn't anything interesting there. And
yeah, there was. There was actually a question that's very good. The person who wrote this question deserves like a medal or something. Question says, how do particles work in software mode?
Oh, that's brilliant.
I
know. Who would have written that?
I know. Must be somewhat smart, eh?
Yeah. I thought we already had that. I thought this was a different...
No, these are all part of the same series. We never highlighted this before on the show, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right then. God, some genius.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me.
It sounds like something I would do.
Anyway, so once again, link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. They're good. They're much more interesting than the community management or content Q&A because you actually find out how your game works that you're playing, you know? Like, for instance, they said there are parts of their engine written in C, for example, and they said why they use the map squares and not why there's the lag when they switch map squares. So
Yeah, it is actually... I'm kind of... behind on this because I feel like we've already discussed it, but it's just you that I've been discussing it with. Yeah, I agree with all that. It is actually a very interesting read, even if you're not into the programming kind of side of things. It's good to find out how everything works. And it gives you more of an appreciation for the engine. You know, you'll understand why certain things can't be done, etc.
Yep. Alrighty then. So, with that being said, let us move on to some questions. First up, audio question from a fellow named Aiden once again.
Hey guys, Aiden again. I want to ask you another question. Yesterday I just reached my 74 mark on my thieving. I'm trying extremely hard to go for 99. I wanted to know what do y'all think is the easiest way to do it. I'm not really interested in doing the thing that gets the scores. So that's out of the question. Okay, thanks.
Well, you're the thieving expert here, so.
Well, sort of, I guess. What's your thieving level?
80.
We're not that far apart. Mine's only.
I thought you were like 93.
What? No way. But we've both reached the same consensus here. We both agree that, you know, Pyramid Plunder is the way to go with thieving. I couldn't tell exactly what the question was because of the phone quality, so I'm sorry about that. But
yeah, I just thought that he didn't want to do squirks, and he's currently level 74.
Yeah, something like that. Squirks don't seem that bad. I've kind of only done it once when I had to do it for a quest, just to collect some squirk juice. So I'm no expert on that. Obviously, but if you did get used to it, then I don't think it would be too bad, and you would get used to all the dodging the things and going through it pretty quickly. But no, on the other hand, Pyramid Plunder is easy. It gets a little bit repetitive, but then I suppose squirks do too. It's not actually a whole lot different, apart from the fact that Pyramid Plunder takes no skill.
Once I reached level 81, I found that Pyramid Plunder became very fast for XP. Yeah. It even gets faster once you get to 91, because that's when the new rooms open. Yep. I think the rule of thumb is that you want to spend about 70% of your time in the last two rooms that you can. So if you're level 74, you'll have 71 and 61. You'll want to spend the majority of your time in those two rooms.
Yeah, the last two rooms are always the most important. I don't deal with any before that. Just, you know.
Yeah, you just run straight through and then do those.
If you've got time, then spend as much as you can in the second to last room. But if you think you're going to run out of time, then move straight on.
I only open the coffin in the last room.
Me too.
How many scepters have you got? The Pharaoh's Scepter.
Two or three, I can't remember.
I've only gotten one. But if you're going to be doing Pyramid Plunder, you really should do that, because it's a nice quick teleport directly to that pyramid. So
yeah, I actually just wield a scepter with me, and each time I go through, I make sure, or you know, every three times, I make sure that I've collected up enough thingies to recharge it, so that every time I don't have to spend an extra few seconds finding the right door to enter the pyramid. You just, you know, as soon as you get out, just teleport straight back in again.
Yeah, that's what everybody recommends doing.
Oh, okay. I thought that was exclusive to me. But yeah, as long as you gather up enough toke trinket things, then you can pay for that without any trouble. Is there anything extra?
I don't think so.
That's pretty much the only option for thieving.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than it used to be when pickpocketing was the only thing.
Yep.
Hell yes, actually. Papiro.
Hey guys, if you were able to add any new type of woodcutting tree into the game, what would it be, where would it be, and what level requirements would it have? Also, you have the ability to add a new type of farming fruit tree into the game, but it can only be farmed in one specific fruit tree patch. What would it be, where would it be farmed, and what level requirements would it have? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
This is so much effort, Shane.
Yeah, well, for wooden tree, I think I'd just add more deciduous trees, you know? Like, not one specific type, just go more deciduous on the lower end, you know? Like, Where are all the elm and birch and those kind of
there's
trees?
There's not a lot of variety, is there?
Yeah, you know, the trees really need a graphical update. They didn't update those when HD came out. Because if you still zoom in on a tree, you can really still see the pixelated texture.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a foliage update.
Hmm. It kind of depends. They're probably a bit limited, you know, with the whole Java thing.
Who knows? You know, I don't know. I think it'd be nice to actually see an update to the trees and maybe even the ground, because I don't know, the ground and the trees don't really look that great if you compare them to, say, some of the armor and stuff, you know? So.
Yeah, for me, I'm not sure what I would introduce. There's a lot of possibility.
Yeah, it's so hard because there's so many varieties of trees, you know?
Yeah. Especially in, you know, different places. New Zealand, and Canada.
I don't know. I'm just going to go with leafy trees and give the trees a graphical update.
Leafy trees. Yeah.
Yeah, leafy trees.
Maybe more generic trees, but have lots of different kinds of trees. Call them all trees, you know, but yeah, don't actually distinguish between them when you chop them down. Because otherwise.
Yeah, and then still have the special ones like oak, maple, yew, and magic.
Yeah. It would just be nice to see more models for them. I think that's more or less all there needs to be. Mm-hmm. Fruit trees?
I don't know. You're the expert on that one.
Oh, there's so much possibility there as well. Kiwi fruit vines?
Okay.
It's the first thing that comes to mind.
But is that really a tree?
Sure it is.
Okay.
We have kiwi fruit vines. Well, yeah, I mean, it is a tree. Plums, I think, would be good. You can't grow plums, can you? There's actually quite a lot. If you've done the meeting history quest, then there are a few fruit trees in that quest that you actually have to replant, and those aren't in the rest of the game.
Oh, what were they? I forget what they are now.
I can't remember exactly either. I know there was an avocado.
Right.
I'm not sure what use that would be in the game. So,
some people like it in their salad as a.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love avocado, but you know, in RuneScape, what would you do with avocado?
Yeah, you know, I just typed into Google meeting avocado.
Avocado is good. It's necessary.
I don't think I've ever.
Might have been a lemon tree.
Lemons. That's right. No, we can't grow lemons.
That would be a good one to add because, of course, you can get lemons in-game, can't you?
Yeah.
There are no lemon trees, so it would be good to add that for consistency. I think more things like
that. The plum tree was in the quest.
Yep, see, I was right.
Quince, pear, quince, mango, lemon and avocado.
Pear is another good one. We have pear trees.
Yeah, see, that's why I said you were the expert. You have all these in your backyard.
Yeah. I don't think we really have too much out of the
ordinary. Are your plum trees purple like
peaches?
That?
Peaches? Nectarines?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Apricots?
Are your plum trees purple like the ones were in the quest?
Not the leaves, no. I thought that was incredibly unrealistic, actually, when I saw it.
Yeah. So, there we go.
Yeah, that's a horrible model. It looks cool, but, you know, nothing like an actual plum tree. I was thinking of that when we were talking about trees. You know, it'd be interesting to see some models a bit like that because they would look cool, but they wouldn't look realistic at all.
Yeah, but then, you know, come... when it's time to model it, how do you model something that's going to look like a tree when, taking the kiwi fruit ones for an example, when the little branches are so thin, right? I assume like the things that they hang off of.
And, I suppose why they just used...
that would require more textures. Polygons. And they've said before their goal is to keep polygons down. So
yeah. Never mind. So that's more or less all I have to add. I don't want to see anything new or just want consistency in the game and more variety.
Yeah, that's true. Because, I don't know, like I think another round of fixes and enhancements would be good, like you said. More variety on the trees and stuff. It's because they've been like that since RuneScape 2 came out, in my view.
Yeah.
So. Anyways. Are we done with that one?
Yep.
Alrighty. Thank you. Next question is now from Gnome Thorian.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake, Gnome Thorian here, and I have two questions this week. First, what is your ideal RuneScape? Like, what would you like to see in RuneScape as a perfect RuneScape that there would be no issues in your idea, like your perfect RuneScape? And second of all, what is your oldest physical object you have to date? Like, do you have a stuffed animal that you had when you were a little kid? Do you have a blanket? I don't know. Just thanks, Gnome Thorin, and keep up the great show. Bye.
You gotta wonder about the ending of that question.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning.
I don't think we ever had anyone do that. And I'm wondering if that was an edited-in sound effect, or if he was just in the bathroom doing that effect, or if he was actually using
the bathroom. Let's not wonder. Let's just say that it was edited in.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Ideal RuneScape.
We just said more variety, fix things up.
Pretty much.
Resizable bank windows, consistent user interface.
We've been over this before, haven't we?
What else would there be? Better support for OS X. Got a story on that too, and what have we been doing?
I think better support for standards in general to make the game have a higher frame rate.
Yeah, that's true. That was something that came up in the engine Q&A. Why is RuneScape limited to 50 hertz? The answer was that it was a limitation of way back when RuneScape Classic, and they never got around to changing it.
Yep.
And that causes problems now with vertical syncing, because our North American screens sync at 60 hertz, while other places in the world sync at 50, others at 59, etc.
I don't think that will make a big difference, you know, when they change that.
Well, no, but it would be a nice little add-on, you know, to have a async option. So.
For it to be ideal, they actually need to, you know, recode the engine completely so that it runs smoother.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with Legacy, right?
Yep.
So.
There's not really a lot more to... I think just, resizable windows... a better skin on the interface. Oh, and anti-aliasing on things like text and just objects and things.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. That might be a bit much to ask, because I actually think they do a good job of it. It's kind of nice with sharp things.
Yeah, if it's designed properly.
Bad explanation, but I don't know.
Yeah. Another thing in terms of people, I would like it if people would act
sincerely
and not use chat speak all the time, and actually focus on the game and like pretend it was real world and be a responsible person, you know?
Like anyone you meet at the Grand Exchange?
Yeah, that too. Or that one guy in the rants forum about...
multiple guys.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one guy specifically, but I think that was just a representative of... I mean, the fact that that was there when we looked at it. What are the chances?
That's why we don't do rants. That's why we dropped that segment. And we prefer to do the forum topics if there's nothing else to talk about. Yeah. So. Anyways. What's the oldest thing you own?
I don't actually know. You? I mean, I don't own you, but what? That was kind of an insult at the same time. The oldest thing I own.
I thought you meant it's like slavery.
I did.
Oh, okay. My bed. I've only ever had one bed.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
I have a new bed. I've had things like my my furniture, my drawers, since...
Oh, yeah, that too, I guess.
As young as I could remember. Had them all my life. But that doesn't really count, I suppose. It's a piece of furniture. There's a lot of stuff that I've just, you know, inherited. I don't know. Pillowcase? I have a Mickey Mouse pillowcase.
Do you still use it?
Yep. It's on my bed right now.
Oh, that's nice.
I deliberately take that with me if I'm going anywhere.
Really?
Anywhere. Yep.
Why?
It's provocative. I'm a provocative person. Yeah. That's kind of it, though. Nothing else comes to mind. I've got, like, one stuffed toy which is sitting up at the top of my wardrobe at the moment.
Is that the elephant?
Down on me. No, that elephant? Where'd you get elephant from? That's the big bunny.
Oh, okay.
I haven't touched that in a while either, though. No.
Yeah, I'm struggling to think as either. A while back when I was cleaning up, I found some floppy disks from 1996. I got rid of the rest of them. I only kept one as like a souvenir kind of thing, seeing as I don't even have a floppy drive anymore.
Yeah. I had that that MS-DOS thing. The MS-DOS book. The guide.
Oh, okay.
Except I threw it out.
Yeah, what's the point of having that, you know?
I read that, but what would I have done with it?
Yeah, and, you know, that was before your time, too.
Way before my time.
Yeah, I think that'll be it for that one, unless there's anything else jumping out at you. All right.
No.
Thank you, Noam Thorian. The toilet question. Next one is from Earth.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake, Shane, please explain all the good things George W. Bush did. You never really gave me a specific answer. Now, for both of you, have either of you ever had to write or memorize something and say it in front of a large audience, such as your school? Oh, Chief, I need you to record something with your awesome accent for me again. And are you guys a fan of these? Mr. Energizer Rabbit, it appears you have committed the crime.
All right, I confess. What am I being charged with?
You're being charged...
Put on sunglasses.
...with battery.
Oh, I get that this time.
Yes. Huh. Energizer Bunny ran out of batteries and needed to be charged with battery, as in charged with battery and assault.
Funny.
Ah, yes. Let's work backwards, shall we? So, have we had to remember anything?
Oh, heaps of things.
Okay. See, most of the things I ever did that required remembering, I was allowed a little sheet of notes as like we do now for this show, so I never had to really recite anything cold. So.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing. I love to be able to just, you know, spiel straight off. That's why I kind of like the show. Or I mean, you've got notes in front of you, and it's harder when you actually have to stand up and talk to people because, for one thing, they can see you, and you have to make eye contact and stuff. You can't just read straight off a sheet of paper. Mm. But
have you
ever done anything like that?
Yeah, I've done lots of presentations where I just have my notes and then I just go off that, and they're good. I don't mind doing that, actually. And the group projects that I've been a part of, I always seem to be the one that does the presentation because everybody else is struggling with just trying to keep the PowerPoint moving to the next slide or keeping the hands from not shaking. So,
it's a good experience to have. It's really good to be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, remember we were having these discussions because we were both doing presentations whenever that was, November or something, or
November sounds like the time. I don't know, something like that.
Or sometime around there, and we were debating whether the show helps the presentations or the presentations helps the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Not sure. Not and sure yeah, which way November. It is. But one way it does something.
I think it's probably both ways, but the fact that we do the show every week probably means that we get more experience doing the show, and therefore that's useful for other things.
Yeah, like just for an example here, for this entire show, we're going off of 4 bullet points and then the list of questions so far.
Yeah.
So.
I've not been doing it as long as you, so I'm still not that good at just, you know, taking a few bullet points and then spieling about them. I prefer to know what I'm going to say first, but then at the same time, it's harder if you know, because you have to actually recall it all. And I've never been good at that. I hate memorizing things fully in order to get speeches.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense why you would do that, because it's easier to remember the thoughts, because if you remember everything, like if you remember the core ideas, that means you know what you're talking about, and then you can just adapt based on the points rather than trying to remember a script.
But things like our English class these days, the speech unit actually requires you to write the speech and sort of have the cue cards, I think. So
yeah. That's
and,
okay, though.
You know, I suppose it is, yeah. Oh, well.
What do you think they do for things like State of the Union? They have teleprompters.
Yeah. Teleprompters would be a lot easier, though. I hate using cue cards.
Yeah.
But to answer that question, I suppose, I've had to do a lot of that, really, compared to other people. I never really enjoyed it up until this year, or maybe end of last year, where I actually felt I could get up there. And I wanted to do it again afterwards.
That's how it is, right?
I still get nervous every time I do it, but it's fun at the same time.
Once you're going, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. So, I think that covers that one. I don't know if there's anything else to say on that. But, Earth and I were having this dialogue over PM. I forget what started it all. He sent me something or something. I forget what it was. Or I sent him something. I don't know. I don't even remember anymore. But it evolved into this conversation about the political compass test and George Bush. And then, I guess I'll keep things simple here in terms of this. You know, I think that overall, people give George Bush a little bit of a hard time, given what he had to go through and whatnot during the presidency, starting, 9 months in or whatever, was September 11th. And then in order to prevent other attacks from happening and keeping confidence and everything, you know. Yes, his approval ratings were low, but, you know, he wasn't really as bad as people make him out to be. I'd say the worst thing he did was probably the stimulus package, in my view. But, you know, I don't know. It would have been nice to know what you think that he did horribly wrong, because I can't really think of anything like that. So it's easier for me just to say that people don't give him as much credit as he deserves, and he's picked on a bit too much, and I think that's about it.
Didn't you go and listen to him speak or something once?
I was going to. I should have. Oh, I don't know why I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I should have. That would have been a good one. But, you know, this just goes to prove the point. There is a huge organization of protesters out there wanting to arrest him for war crimes. But why? You know, why? He's not the president anymore. Let him speak and let people who want to go and listen. We have to entertain all points, you know? Like, clearly by doing that, they're not understanding what the problem was. Maybe if they would have went in, they would have had a better idea, you know? So, I don't know. I just think that he's not as bad as people make him out to be. And overall, you know, there has been worse.
Yeah, there probably has been, to be fair. Oh, well. Thank you, Earth. And
next one is from Ricey.
Shane and Chief, Eric here. When free trade was announced to be released on February 1st, I tried to think of some items that had a Jagex-controlled max cap. I came up with gold amulets unshung. They never rise above 140 DP or so and are in high demand for the string jewelry spell. Currently, I have bought around 100K at 140 DP. My question is to you. How high do you think people will pay for them once free trade comes out? If people paid 300 for them, that's a free 15 mil. Thanks.
Oh, I see what you mean. I didn't kind of hear the first part of the question, and it confused me before. Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, these items, the gold amulets for string jewelry spell, people in the past have used them to get 99 magic, and when they want a vast quantity, they'd go to a person directly, and then with that person, they would junk trade, so.
Yeah.
So that's where we're getting this idea that once the free market caps are removed, the price on the GE will go up, and as Eric said, he will take his money, and if, assuming they do go up, he will make money on those. So,
yeah, twice as much.
I would like to do that, but I don't trust myself to make the right choice and end up getting myself stuck with an item that nobody's going to be buying after that. So,
I don't want to get involved in that kind of stuff either. I mean, the way I see it, I'm doing all right at the moment. I'm getting along. I don't need to make a massive amount of money for any reason.
I wouldn't mind another 30 mil or so, so I could just buy combat gear, you know?
Wouldn't mind it, but don't need it.
I would like to buy a Ceridoman God Sword, and my Dragonfire Shield back. If I could get those back, I'd be happy. So, I don't know. I guess if there's still time when you guys are listening to this, you could take a look at the GE grass and find an item and take a risk if you want, but I'm not going to be doing that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the market when this thing unlocks on Tuesday. So,
how long has it taken them to buy 100K of them?
I think it's either 5K or 10K every 4 hours. I forget what it is. I forget what the limit is, but that would even take a long time.
Okay. Hmm.
So I don't know. But I think he's been working on it about a week already or something. So. Yes. Thank you, Ricey. The next one is from Ranging God. What do you guys think will be the largest tech achievements in 2011? And also, do you think 2012 will be the end of the world? Something catastrophic will happen? I sure as hell do. So, tech achievements.
That's quite blasphemous of you, actually, Ranging God. Tech achievements? I don't know. You? I mean, again, not... you, literally, but you as a Christian. I mean, you are quite a tech achievement, Shane, but, you know, you've been and gone. That was 23 years ago. Coming up.
What?
Never mind.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm hoping that this year, I think that we're going to see more mobile development, probably, for sure. I don't think that's going to be the big thing that everybody's going to remember. I'm hoping that with little baby steps made so far in areas like multi-touch on iOS and other phones and stuff, and Kinect through their motion control interface, I hope that we're going to finally reach a breakthrough that will allow us to throw the keyboard and mouse away. That would be the biggest achievement.
I doubt it. Personally, I still can't see anything like that happening.
I don't know. Just imagine having like a glass panel in front of you that lights up, and then the keyboard changes depending on what you're doing, and then it provides the force feedback.
Oh, well, yeah, that could definitely be possible.
Like something like that.
I don't think it's viable within the next couple of years, at least. In the next few years.
The challenge behind that is getting it in such a small form factor. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. But I think the biggest achievement would... I would like it to be something in relation to advancing user interfaces. But, you know, what it probably will probably just be something spurred by mainstream tech, you know, maybe something to do with Facebook, Twitter, or Google.
Mm.
That's all I got on that one. What about you?
I don't really have much to add. As for what I think will be the largest tech achievement in 2011, yeah, I'm really not sure. I mean, what is there that could happen apart from things like multi-touch? And
that's the thing.
I've never really been that interested in
amid the range. Well, yeah, multi-touch by itself is only good for a few certain cases, but, you know, if it was combined with something else, it would become a whole lot more useful.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess that's it for that one, then.
Yeah, pretty much. You're the expert on that.
Pass. Like, I don't see anything major happening, because there's nothing...
Yeah.
There's nothing on Intel or NVIDIA or anybody's roadmaps that's going to change the way a device
looks.
That's more
or less what I was thinking.
The only thing that could possibly happen would be something online in mainstream tech, because it was only a couple of years ago they got Twitter and Facebook. So
Diaspora?
No, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Facebook will break.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
It would. I don't know. Well, that's good. That's good that I'm on the same wavelength as you.
Yeah.
Makes me feel better.
And 2012 being the end of the world? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It's like saying that in 2038 it's going to be the end of the world because the Unix timestamp isn't going to work anymore, the 32-bit Unix timestamp. Only thing 2012 is the end of an ancient calendar, so no.
I explained that to my dad the other day, how that works.
Oh, you did?
Unix timestamp. Oh,
okay.
It was fun. He actually asked me about how domain names work to start with.
Oh.
And you know, how they represent IP addresses for servers and things. That was a good explanation.
Oh, that's good.
And I moved on.
Did
to
you
that.
Get
oh,
into
that,
explaining?
That came up because of the IPv, IP version 4 and 6.
Oh, really? How did he know about that?
I think he... Oh, because he brought it into me last week, remember?
Oh, right.
It was in the newspaper.
That's amazing that that kind of thing gets mainstream there.
It wasn't very mainstream. It was a tiny little...
Did you get to explaining about how there's 32 bits in that kind of integer and how numbers are represented in binary?
I didn't actually. I didn't explain it in terms of bits. But I did explain how much more complex the new system will be. Anyway,
alrighty.
Thank you, Range of God.
Next one from Ben.
It's from Ben. Thank you, Shane. What is your least favorite minigame or skill or D&D? Very simple question. Dungeoneering.
Minigame.
All of the above.
Minigame would be the... you know, I don't know.
Dungeoneering.
I was going to say Pyramid Plunder for minigame, but... You know, it is fairly advanced, so I'm going to pass on the minigame and say I don't outright hate a minigame. But as for skill, Dungeoneering, least favorite distraction and diversion. The circus is good. The court cases are good. The shooting star is good. The evil tree is good. I don't know. I don't think I have a least favorite distraction and diversion.
I think the rewards could be a bit better for the evil tree.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They could improve it in that respect. I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing one somewhere, you know?
Nothing else springs to mind. Yeah, I know. I
Like, what do we got for distraction and diversions? I don't even... I just know the basic ones.
Whatever we're missing is probably our least favorite.
Yeah, that's true, you know?
I think Vinesweeper could be better implemented for a minigame.
Yeah, that's true. They could make a better farming minigame with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. I don't really have any favorite distraction and diversions looking at the official list. So, anyways... Thank you, Ben. Next one from Minomaru.
Thank you, Ben.
A great farming question here.
Oh.
I'm currently at 91 farming and looking for a great way to get 99 fast, but in a fairly inexpensive way. I do pineapples, willows, and calquit on a daily basis. Is there anything else I'm missing XP-wise? I don't care so much for making money at the moment because I have a limited time, so no herbs, please. Thank you, and I'm a huge fan of the show. Hope you guys enjoy talking about farming yet once again. Sincerely, Almino. Well, if you're currently at 91, you are missing the effigy XP. You get the 5k at level 91 if you go to 117 Daemonheim.
Oh, yeah,
when you
that's
get,
right.
Get 93, you can do the 10k and then 95, the 15, and then... I messed that up. Because 97...
I don't know. Well, level 91, you can... It's 91, 93, 90.
Yeah, I messed the XP numbers up, but it's significant enough that you should go there every day and do it if you can do that after your farming run. So.
Or you can join the assist clan chat. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's handy as well.
But
you realize you're doing exactly the same thing as I did at your level. Pineapple trees, willow trees, and kelquat, and some herbs.
You did. I thought you did maples.
I did maples from about level 93.
Oh, okay.
But up until then, I only did willows. So, yeah. So that's so probably my advice. My advice would be to upgrade to a maple, and you will notice the difference. I don't think, because you want an inexpensive method, there's probably not a lot more that you could do.
Yeah, I don't think you can, you don't have much wiggle room with that. So
yeah, just the effigies, really. So that's a good point.
Penguins, if you want to go penguin hunting, you know, probably have better skills to use penguin points on.
Yeah, penguin, yeah, it's too much effort for that. I mean, it's easier just to get, like, the effigy XP for one day, and that's probably about what you would get from penguins, isn't it? Spend hunting them over a week.
Well, if you go for 16 penguin points, and let's say you're level 91, so you get 36k once a week at level 91 if you did all the penguins. Enough. So, yeah, you would get more just doing the effigies then. So, you could, you know, as you say, you don't have time, but I'm just going to throw that out there. If you were feeling bored one day, you could just go to Vinesweeper and start collecting tokens and cash those in one day. I'm not suggesting doing that because that's extremely boring.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest doing that either. It's probably not worth it for the time taken.
Yeah. So I think you pretty much got that there, except for the effigies. So,
yep.
Anyways, you know, we always like talking about farming.
Absolutely. Any opportunity, I'd be more than happy to. Oh, let's wake my computer from the screensaver. Question from Sphinx. Hi, Chief and Shane. I have a question for each of you today. Chief, when you were preparing for 99 range with chinchumpers, how much did you spend on the chinchumpers and prey pots, respectively? And Shane, under today's circumstances, how would you recommend training to 99 herb lore? I'll have the money sooner or later, and looking at different guides, there doesn't seem to be one set way to train the best. Do you think I should train? Oh, how do you think I should train? Sorry. Thanks again, Sphinx. For 99 range for a start, when I was preparing for that, I actually bought all my prayer pots in advance. I wasn't sure how many I would need, so I just bought like 800 of them. I can't remember how much that cost me, but it was probably quite a lot. That would have been a lot. Ugh. Crap. Wasting my money. But don't take my word on that because I don't think you will actually need anywhere near that much. Probably half. It depends what range level you are to start with. I can't remember where I started from. It was probably like 85 around there. And I've got 94 now. Something like that. Yeah. And I think I started with something like 35k richens. Don't quote me on that either. It was between 35 and 40k.
And they were probably, what, 700 each then?
Yeah, 600, 700, something like that. And, I kind of bought them. I bought them at good prices when they were quite low. But, yeah, probably, yeah, 600, 550. No, 600. I'll say 600, conservative.
So about 19 mil?
Yes, that sounds right. I think it was something like 20 mil. So, yeah.
And of course, these are all going to be different nowadays and everything.
Definitely, yeah. Don't quote me on any of this. This is just the vaguest idea I can give you. But it's not that much, really. 20 mil for 99 range is pretty good.
Okay, I have a question
It's very easy to be bothered doing it. Yes, Shane?
How do you calculate how many chinchampas you need for 99 ranged?
I overheard someone talking about it in the GE and thought, oh, that sounds doable. I'll buy 40k chins.
Okay.
So honestly, that is pretty much all I did. I was just hearing someone saying that it took him like 40k chins to get 99, so I was like, buy. It was that much of a snap decision. That's what 99 range was for me.
Wow.
And I still haven't got it. I mean, that's why it turned out to be.
Yeah, it wasn't very really. I guess it wasn't really a priority then for you, eh?
No, but it's nice just having them still banked, so I can go and do it if I ever want to.
Yeah, anytime you feel like ranging, just
go
with that.
It would be a lot faster, I think, if I did them on Apatil. I just can't be bothered going to Apatil each time.
Yeah, that's true, and you know the Chaos Tunnels made it so much easier to do something like that, that those are always busy. So, yes.
That's all, though. Herblore?
Herblore really depends on what the market is doing presently right now. So what I recommend doing for that is taking a spreadsheet, and then if you're feeling a little bit technical, or you could find out how to make your spreadsheet auto-update using the GE, but that's kind of hard to do if you've never done it before. So just make a spreadsheet with your potions, the sell price, the first herb, the ingredient, and the vial price, and then calculate which one is the cheapest profit per XP kind of thing. So, or which gives you the most profit per XP, and do that. Yeah. Now, it should be worth noting.
You can actually, there is a thing on the RuneScape Wiki which does all that for you.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have something like that at some point in the future, but sure, we'll use that one then. But it should be worth noting that you could also potentially, if you're planning on doing combat and you want to use your potions, you could make super attacks and then add the Evanto to those and make extreme attacks and then later do the same thing with extreme strength. But of course, with that, you won't be able to sell the potions back. So you have to make a decision. Do you want to make money back, or do you want potions for life? If you want to make money back, I think the thing that the staple really is Sarodoan brews. You could look into antifires or something else like that, but it all depends on what the market is doing.
I think Sarodoan brews are the easiest to do at the moment, because you kind of just, you know, you're always going to be able to sell them. And there's
also, and you're always going to be able to buy the stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Especially with the latest God Wars dungeon thing with the whole Nyx update.
Yeah, that's true as well.
You can anticipate when the Sarodoan brews are going to increase in price with those kinds of updates. And so if you can, then you want to buy all of the ingredients as, you know, as cheap as you can get it, and then wait until one of those updates occurs and sell them at that point, and you can sell them for max price or something, and you'd probably make you would lose less money than you would regularly. So if you play the market a little bit, then Herblore shouldn't be as much of a problem as it would be normally.
I did it back in 2007, just before HD came out, and it was fairly cheap. It was less than 100 mil from level 80 to 99, and I can't say it's going to be like that anymore. So I got it cheap. That's the only reason I have it.
You did.
Another thing you can do is you can go to your kingdom and go on full wood because you get the bird's nest from that, and then use your bird's nest that you get from there. It's not many, but it helps a little bit getting nest for Ceridum and Bruce. So that is the best way to do herb lore.
Thank you, Sphinx. Next one.
Last one is from Regneth. Dear Computer Whiz Shane and Slithering Snake. Now the snake thing just keeps coming up, hey? First Solid Snake, then the Snake Charmer. Has anyone ever put you in one of those little basket things and played the little thing?
No, I'm a person.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yes, it is true.
I am interested in making my own podcast with a few friends. We are not sure what to do it on or even how to do it. Can you give us any tips or anything else you think will help? Well, Chief, you just jump straight in if you have any ideas. I'm just going to start here. First things first, you do need an idea of what to do it on. Think of something that you want to talk about, something you can talk about, something you're interested in, and something that needs to be talked about, something where there's a void if possible. Secondly, that's number one, because if you don't have something to talk about, your podcast is just rambling, like we do sometimes, albeit with a goal in the end. But
our rambling is different. Interesting.
Yes. The second thing, make sure your people that you're doing with it at the start are people that you know, and you know you should know them a bit. The better you know them, the better off you'll be. Because if you take a look, listen to our first few episodes, you'll hear that Pika and myself weren't exactly comfortable with this whole thing. Partly because
you need to be actually comfortable speaking to each other like real people, especially if you don't know them in real life. I don't know.
Just make sure you've talked to them before.
Yeah, and you also need to be used to talking to yourself, more or less. I mean, it's easy to feel uncomfortable doing this kind of thing because you're just sitting alone in a room speaking into a headset.
Unless you're doing it live.
Well, no.
Well, no, I mean like live with people in the room with you.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But that's even weirder because you're not even talking to them.
I think that would make it better.
Okay,
I think
that
would make it better
if
we were here at the same table, you know? But anyways, the next thing you need to make sure is once you have your idea, you need to have an accurate map of where you want to go. You need content because if you don't have content, the show will be nothing. So you need content. That's number two. Number three is that you want to be able so that you're heard. You don't want to use a laptop microphone every week for your podcast if you're the owner. You want to use something semi-decent like the headset that Chief uses here, the Logitech Clear Chat or whatever it is.
Semi-decent.
At the minimum.
All good.
Mm-hmm. I've heard decent mics before and not so decent ones. You know, the cheapest best mic I heard was a $2 one that came with a computer. One of those ancient ones, you know, that used to come with computers. That was the cheapest best mic I've heard. So, but definitely get a headset mic combo. And then I guess the last thing here would be that you want to just be yourself and don't try to be something you're not, you know, don't do the whole radio voice and that kind of thing, because if you're not yourself, then you're not really presenting from your own point of view, you know? So, and it'll become clear to the users when they're listening to it. Now, that's the actual producing side. Then you got the whole technical side of making sure you got the whole right levels and making sure you're exporting at the right bit rate and publishing everywhere and stuff. Like, just last year, you know, we we figured out how to do the proper levels. And I think for 2011 so far, we've been pretty good with levels. You know, sometimes there'll be an off day. It just depends on who's on the show and everything. So that should be a good starting point.
Yep.
Anyways, next part.
Next part.
Oh, I'm reading it right. For both of you, what is the worst hairstyle you've ever worn? Back in grade school, I sported a short mohawk and it looked terrible. Keep up the epically awesome show.
So let me guess, you have never changed your hairstyle ever, have you?
That would be correct. That would be correct.
I'm good at this. I haven't majorly changed my own hairstyle either. I mean, it's pretty much been the same. I've worn it a little bit differently, like I parted it in different ways, but no, it's more or less the same length and it looks pretty much the same.
Mm. As always.
As always.
Yeah, you know, in the 90s, I think it was, there was the bald head, skinhead look that was popular in the 90s.
Wow.
Then it went to long, or long was first, I think, then the short and stuff. But I don't know. I never did any of those things, you know, and then I don't even know what the first start of the 2000s was. I don't even remember what that kind of hairstyle was. I think that was the spiky kind of hairstyle, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, probably. Mm.
And then I think we're back to long now, aren't we?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Like Steve.
That's not that long. I was thinking of other examples, you know?
I don't know.
So. No, we're pretty boring in that respect. So.
Mm-hmm. Goody goods.
I think that is it then.
Steve!
Well, yeah, right?
Yes. Don't scare the listeners.
So, that being said, next week's questions you will find in a special questions topic.
Ooh.
Which will be on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. Or email audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. Or phone them in to 571-572-2632. Which is 571.
Sorry about the echo, I just had to.
57BNB. Oh, that's good. That's good.
I've got it down. I can text you whenever I need to.
Yeah, you know, now we're probably going to get text messages to that address.
That'd be funny, though.
Yeah, you can try that, I guess, but I'm not guaranteeing we'll use questions that come in form of text messages, and I can't guarantee anyone will reply.
Especially if you use ChatSpeak.
Yes. Anyways, tech news. YouTube looking to integrate comments from Facebook and Twitter. This is actually going to happen because YouTube acquired a company called, what was it? I don't remember the name now. It's in this YouTube blog thing. Let's see, what did they require? Or acquire?
I've forgotten.
Flick, with an F, with the double F at the beginning. They've acquired Flick, which is basically
that?
A company that would, I don't know, I never heard of it until YouTube got them. But basically what they did is they took Facebook messages and Twitter messages containing a YouTube URL and then looked at the discussions surrounding those ones, like all the replies and whatnot, and then used that as a second form of comments for YouTube videos.
Oh, okay. That would be quite a lot to aggregate.
Yeah, it would, considering how fast it changes and everything. So, but it's interesting because not everybody goes to YouTube and not everybody has a YouTube account, whereas those alternative mediums just allow an easier way to discuss it. And the discussion comes from wherever it's happening. You don't have to go to the site.
So it would be a bit – it could be out of context if it's, if it's all shown in the YouTube thing. Is that right?
Yeah. So I don't know how they're going to integrate this or anything. But it's kind of the same thing if anybody's used the service called Discuss for blogging.
Yeah.
Which allows you to import all of your different kind of comments from wherever they might come in. So kind of the same thing except for YouTube, so that's good.
Could be good.
But they say that they see 400 tweets per minute containing a YouTube link and over 150 years of YouTube videos watched on Facebook every day. So as you can see, that's why they're interested in it. So that should be interesting to see how that comes together. Next up, Microsoft rides Kinect to a record quarter. Exceptionally strong set of second quarter results, and on the back of growth in the company's Windows and Entertainment division. So basically, it was the entertainment side that carried Microsoft rather than the software side, as one would as some might expect, which is evident in the way Windows works, right?
It's kind of weird at the same time, though. I was thinking, why does this work? Microsoft is always the one that loses. Microsoft does everything too late. And then I realized Microsoft wins because Sony sucks even more. That's probably why. Well, I mean, the PlayStation 3 is the one which is too little too late at this point, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Connect. Yeah, but you know, I still maintain that the only reason the Xbox 360 took off was because of the backwards compatibility, the community that was already there, and the fact it was released first.
Yep. There is also a big price difference. You know, the PS3
was
about twice the price. I can't remember what it was
It had a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
I think it was 400 or 500.
That is probably
I think 500 here. And the Xbox was 4. So,
was it only that much difference? I thought that the PS3 was massively overpriced in comparison to begin with.
I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure it was $800 or $900.
Oh,
PS3.
You're better
Whereas
off buying a
Xbox
computer.
Xbox 360 was probably $500 or $600.
You're better off buying a computer
at that time. Yeah, definitely. That's what I always thought.
But 55% growth in the entertainment and devices division. And they claim that Kinect is the fastest-selling consumer electronics device in history and predicted that revenue will see another 50% growth in this quarter. So Kinect is driving the thing. But you know what's really funny about this is the Xbox was released in 2005, and it's still running hardware from 2005.
That's a bit scary.
That's what the really funny thing about this is.
Holding us back, essentially.
I know consoles are holding it back, but you know the reason they're doing this is there's so much research and development put into the Xbox that it wasn't profitable for the first 4 years when it was out. It wasn't until this time last year that it became profitable.
At all?
For Microsoft, yeah.
Wow.
So that's why they're sticking with it.
I read that, I read ages ago that, at least for the PS3, that was nowhere near profitable. They had to make all the money from that based on their games. So
The PS3 is a bit different. It's actually more amazing from a hardware standpoint.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyways, just think of that before anybody out there goes to buy an Xbox. Think about buying a PC instead.
Please buy a PC instead. In other words, you'll be doing
next up. Sony unveils next generation portable, the new PSP. And you were just saying Sony sucked.
I don't take it back, though.
Anyway, it's not called the PSP 2. It's next generation portable. And it's not known if that's going to be the actual name at the end. So, when it actually releases. But it will come in a brick form factor, 5-inch OLED display, 4 times the resolution of the current PSP, touch pads and both on the front of the rear and dual micro analog sticks, front and rear analog cameras, flash memory, it'll have 3G, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi.
4 times the resolution.
So in a way
it's
kind of like
a powerful hardware to back that up.
Yeah, well, I don't even know. It depends on what the resolution is.
Still, 4 times.
Well, yeah, PSP is from 2000. What?
Oh, four? I guess so. It is
maybe,
pretty old.
I don't know. So
still, I think people are kind of over handheld consoles these days. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm getting older and I don't care about them anymore. But
what about all the people who are playing games on their iPods?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though, because there are other ways you can do it. I mean, now that we have iPods, you don't need something like
PSP. I consider the iPod and iPhone a handheld gaming device.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, now that we've actually got the iPod and stuff, people don't need PSPs. And so it's another case of too little, too late.
Yeah, and, you know, they do other functions as well. I'd imagine with this one, you'll be able to use it as an MP3 player, which will probably end up making it like Sony's kind of iPod Touch. It'll probably remain to be seen
but
how they're going to do the apps for this and everything.
Brick.
If you're going to be downloaded. Well, yeah, they say brick, so, you know, you got to wonder when they say brick how big that's going to be. So,
well, it's got to have pretty powerful hardware.
You know, back I wasn't really a fan of handheld gaming. The only really handheld game I played was Pokemon.
Me too, to be fair.
Mm. Okay. So, anyways, I don't think I have anything left to say about that. Do you?
No, that's... Also offers 3G Bluetooth
then.
Wi-Fi. 3G? Actually, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Anyway, other things.
Yes, skill of the month, January, Slayer. Currently, same as last week, Lion is in first place with 4.4 million. RS Gamer is in second with 3.1. And Raging God is in third with 1.1.
And this will be more or less the last update of January, so I think we can...
Yes, I should get some Slayer XP.
Oh, yes, you should. Mm. Just so that we can say that...
But the February skill of the month is...
Scrolling up. Agility!
That you quit.
Yay. Yes, Shane, I quit.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, but to be fair, I don't even know why I ended up getting 99 agility. It's rather insane looking at it, looking back at it. So I don't blame you.
I mean, now that I've got 90 and I've got the agile stuff, I mean, there was never a point
and
to begin with.
You know, if you go to 99 now, you're not going to, like you, and speaking in your case, 90 to 99, you're not going to notice the run energy increasing that much faster.
Yep. So. Mm. Yeah, I've got more than enough run energy whenever I go anywhere now, so I'm happy. I don't think I will be signing up for this.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign up for it either, so that's okay. Anyways, that is Agility Skill of the Month. Sign up if you're able to. And apparently I have a pick this week.
Yes, apparently you do. I just read that and I was like, oh,
All right. I'm going to discuss this website called ifitweremyhome.com. I showed you this earlier.
You did too.
This is a little graphical version of a way to just get kind of a quick piece of information on a certain country. And it takes your country as a starter, I think, based on your IP address. It does that, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I assume it does.
To make sure. Because right now, Canada is the featured country. Country of the week is Canada. So I just had to make sure that it was starting it off in Canada just because I'm there. But anyways, basically, a bit of information. You just go there and you click and it'll give you some statistics. So, for instance, compare Canada to North Korea. You would have 10.1 times higher chance of dying in infancy. 98.95% less oil, use 95.16% less electricity, make 95% less money, die 17.16 years sooner, spend 99.97% less on healthcare, and have 41.83% more babies.
That's interesting that they even have that kind of data.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all from the CIA World Factbook, and Of course, some nations are going to have more than others, like, for instance, New Zealand. We would use, if New Zealand were your home, you'd use 45% less oil, 41% less electricity, have 34% more babies, 28.9% less money, spend 33.3% less on healthcare, 14% more chance of being unemployed, 12% more classified divide, be 75% less likely to have HIV/AIDS, die 0.81 years sooner.
Are you sure you don't want to get out of Canada? Have 0.06
more free time. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I won't be getting HIV/AIDS.
Are you sure?
Yes.
One can never be certain about these things. Okay.
So you can just go and start clicking on these countries and whatnot. Of course, the bigger countries are going to have more data. So, like, for instance, Mayotte only has a bit of data. I didn't even know there is a country called Mayotte, and it shows a picture of where that country is on the map. And apparently Mayotte is as big as Edmonton.
Oh.
So. Anyways, oh, well. ifitweremyhome.com.
Good stuff. Achievements of the week? The week?
Yes.
What have we got? January 22nd. Dragon 892.
98 runecrafting.
Whoa. That's getting up there.
I imagine he'll be getting it to 99 soon. So we'll be
probably,
looking forward to that.
Once you get 98, I mean, you'd be pretty...
yeah, you definitely want to get 99.
Anyway.
Minor Goo, 99 Constitution on the 22nd as well.
Oh, I read that as construction. I'm glad you're reading this.
Well, I wrote it as hit points first, but I decided I should be correct and say Constitution. I still think of it as hit points.
You could have said 990 hit points.
That'd be life points.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Gotham got 99 mining. January 24th. Oh,
Mandy
Girl, next one.
99 farming, January 25th.
Congratulations. And Devo got 98 mining, January 26th.
On the 26th. So congratulations to you all, and we can see that we got some important 99s coming up next week, hopefully.
Yes, we expect to be invited.
There's
to
also a yeah. Send us a PM when it's happening, please. Anyways,
there's also
something else.
Oh no, go.
Oh, okay. I was going to say there's also something else important happening next week. The Wilderness is coming back. So,
okay.
In light of
that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, you know, you start small and get bigger like some other things, right?
Continue.
So we're going to be doing a live show next week, which I think the date we settled on was the Friday, North American Friday, later in the afternoon. Final confirmed date will be posted when that questions topic goes up on Monday or so.
Yep.
So look forward to that. And yeah, the time too. And, of course, where we're going to be doing it. We're still not sure on whether we'll be going back to Stickum or Ustream or whatever it was, or something locally hosted. So keep that in mind when you check the topic. And we are also doing something interesting with this one in that, you know, the Wilderness only goes away and comes back once. So we're going to kind of do something we've never done before with our live shows and bring some of you guys who are listening to that show on the show. And we're going to do that in a special way, so listen up. What we're going to require you to do is if you want to speak on that show, send one of us a PM on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums, with your Skype name that you've already set up, what you plan to talk about in your 5-minute slot. Because we're going to kind of alternate between questions and bringing people on with that So if you're not saying anything useful in your time, we'll just move on to the next person or next question. So keep that in mind when you're sending us a PM that you want to talk your 5 minute allotted time during the show. Yes. And of course that can go to either of us because, well, we do this as a team effort. So
episode yes. And we don't really mind what you talk about, of course. Just, you know, as long as
it's relating to the game, you know?
Mm.
And the wilderness kind of thing.
Yeah. Feel free to, you know, bounce things off us. I mean, in your actual talk, it can be more of a discussion. It's not like a monologue.
Yeah, that would be bad if it was a monologue, because that would be kind of hard for somebody who wasn't used to that.
Yeah.
So
just, yeah, think of yourself as a regular guest, except it's only a little slot because we want to fit lots of people on there.
Yes.
I think.
You know, we might actually come up with a way of doing this automated, so you can just press a button and you want to come on and we bring you on. So we'll have more details on that too. So.
Well, eventually, because Shane and I are master programmers, we'll just make our own system, obviously.
Yeah, you know, that kind of needs to be done in the end. But,
get rid of all these other third-party programs.
Anyway, so what have you been doing?
I've been burning.
Burning?
First thing that comes to mind. I've been sunburning.
Oh, right. Yeah, you burnt your...
Highlight of my week. Highlight, huh?
Your neck, your arms. Was it your back too, or just your neck?
No, just my neck, mainly. Oh, well. Tanning.
Did the skin fall off?
Inadvertently. Pardon?
Did your skin fall off?
Oh, no.
Like, was it cracking?
No, not quite. No, I'm very good with it. I put aloe vera all over it. Homeopathic.
Okay.
But no, it's kind of funny because I never burn. And this one time I went to a barbecue and I burnt like I never imagined I would burn. Yeah.
That's why you need to wear a hat. Back.
Horrible. I know. And collared shirts from now on. Protect my neck. It's the last time I wear a regular t-shirt. Huh. But yeah, that's more or less what I've been up to. I haven't been doing too much in RuneScape this week. I've done a little bit more coding, just minor things towards my blog. Yeah, things that probably should have been done to start with, but go visit that.
Alrighty then. So coding, burning, any RuneScape? No?
No, don't think so. Nothing major.
You got 83 herb lore. I saw that when I was going through the achievements.
Oh, okay. I guess I did. I can't remember when that was, though. I mean, I've been doing a few things in RuneScape. I've been on a lot more lately than I have been in the past. So look out for me. I'll probably be in clan chat quite often.
Yeah, who was that was so surprised that you were in clan chat there? I forget who.
Several people. I've got that from a lot of people, but I can't remember.
Yeah. All right.
Don't be surprised.
Anyways, as for me, this week, coding, but first I want to talk about RuneScape. First things, The only real thing I did this week was a clue scroll, actually. I feel bad about that. But it was a clue scroll that Tim informed me of from the Do No Evil quest. After you do that quest, there will be a hidden elite clue scroll in one of four spots, and you use your Ava's device to go pick it up. So I did that clue, traipsed around for a bit, you know, and got my Armadale plate body. So if you've done Don't Do No Evil, you can get a free elite clue scroll. I was traipsing around for a good 45 minutes in the chaos tunnels looking for this clue. which is really annoying because, you know, the portals don't always go where you expect them to go.
45 minutes just looking through the chaos tunnels.
Yeah, well, I went through pretty much everything in the last one I went to up at the top. Like, I started bottom, and then I worked my way around into the center and I kind of zigzagged back and forth, you know?
Yeah, but I guess it would be difficult.
Aside from that, I alerted Jagex and got my issue with the NVIDIA support on OS X elevated to somebody to fix it at Jagex. The person who responded to me, I think it was Mod Ikers, said he was going to elevate it to the appropriate department, so we hope he can do that. And I did that through actually talking to this Jagex mod, Scorpion, I think his name is, through Twitter. So they are, the Jagex mods are out and about if you manage to catch them at the RuneScape channel at the right time. So
Jagex mods are real people too.
Yes. And yeah, aside from that, just coding JavaScript, PHP kind of thing. So yeah, we had fun with that JavaScript, didn't we?
Hell yes, we did.
And that's with jQuery. It would have been much harder if we were using IE6.
So. I know. It's yeah. And can you imagine coding without jQuery these days?
I know. I was talking to Mike the other night, and lots of what he's doing now is jQuery as well. So we would we'd be nowhere without jQuery. So we're quite happy with it. And I'm also, but the other coding I was working on was a feed aggregator thing to replace shane.rsbnb.com, and I got the parser thing working today, so I finally get to start the design phase once again, make some tweaks to the design I have and whatnot. Right. So that should be fun.
Good
stuff. That's it. So
we are done.
For RSBNB update 293. Just remember to keep a lookout on the forums for the topic saying when and where the live show will be next week. It will be a live show probably most likely on Friday. We're pretty sure on that. We're just not sure on the time yet or how we're going to be doing it. So watch out for that coming Monday probably. Aside from that, you can follow RSBNB on Twitter. RSBNB staff, we use that for pretty much tweeting out new Informer articles and update stuff and more in the future. So if you're looking for a way to get in contact with us, that works too. You have anything else you want to say?
Nope, done.
Alrighty then, we'll see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Where's Humboldt?